Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright video. My name is Ian Saunders.
And I'm Eric McArdle.
And it is Monday, November 18th. Just finished wrapping up here the Point and Figure Institute that we had here in Richmond last Wednesday through Friday. Great event. It was held at the Jefferson Hotel. Had about 80 to 100 advisors coming down. So thank you very much if you were one of the ones that made a trip here to Richmond. All in all, definitely a great few days.
Right, Eric? It was great. And nice to catch up on sleep over the weekend.
Yes.
Feeling all refreshed. But as Ian mentioned, it was great to see you all there. And for those who weren't able to join us this year, we do have another one coming up in May in Las Vegas, as well as the Richmond event that happens every November. So if it's something you're interested in, we can assure you that it is an action-packed, very filled couple days of Point and Figure and Relative Strength. And most of the feedback we've gotten so far has been positive. So we thank you for that. If you do have any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, feel free to send us an email at dwa@dorseywright.com so we can make sure that experience keeps getting better and better for you.
Absolutely. And while the Institute was going on here, the markets continued the kind of upwards movement that we've been seeing in the month of November, at least so far as we head towards the close of the year. We're looking at, coming in this morning, some of the broader indicators continuing higher. Markets are at or near all-time highs. Domestic equities is still picking up by signals in our Dolly rankings. It's at 313 signals now, and we're seeing that cash percentile rank in the Dolly details page for domestic equities continue to drop as well, down to 28%. It's going to be the lowest level that we've seen since the market sell-off in the fourth quarter of last year. So it's definitely good that we're seeing that kind of further confirmation in many of the shorter-term indicators, leading to confirmation and follow-through in those longer-term indicators. But we are seeing some interesting developments within the size and style space. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And we've spent a lot of time over the past few weeks discussing small and mid caps finally joining large caps, rallying as the markets hit new highs. Another development that Ian's alluding to is the style differences within large cap domestic equities. We've seen value in large cap stocks actually outperform their growth counterparts over the last 90 days. So if we take a look at the ticker RPV, the Invesco S&P 500 Pure Value Fund, relative to RPG, which is the growth counterpart, RPV's returned 12.5% in the last 90 days versus RPG at 4.37%.
Wow.
So, you're starting to see, not to say that value is turning a corner yet, but in the near term, showing significant outperformance, significant strength, still trailing on the year, up 20% relative to about 23% for growth. But that said, you've got broad participation now across growth and value, pushing this market higher.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly interesting.
Absolutely, and we've seen that a little bit on the asset class group score section of the website as well, that looks at average score movement for 135 different groups that we have on the platform. And we have size and style breakdowns that you can kind of track some of that more near to intermediate term movement. We've seen value scores have been trailing for quite a while now. It started to pick up a little bit, again, not quite in that favorable territory above the growth spaces that are still going to be up at the top of those score rankings, but definitely some near-term strength. But looking at things from the longer-term perspective, we have a model on the site. The RPV-RPG is going to be the ticker, the value growth portfolio. It's simply looking at a relative strength switching model between RPV and RPG. And we've seen that growth has been in favor actually since May of 2017 has been holding in that portfolio. So it's just going to hold one of those funds. If value's in favor from a relative strength chart perspective, then it would hold value through RPV. If growth's in favor, it would hold growth through RPG. And that relationship has shown some near-term improvement from a value perspective, but has not reversed back up into a column of X's, which would lead to a change in the model. So longer-term perspective, still seeing that growth is going to be in favor, at least from the model there on the site.
That's right. And I really like that solution because it goes to show how simple RS can be in terms of portfolio construction, right? You don't have to do anything too fancy. Mm-hmm. You can simply say, okay, from a long-term perspective, is growth in favor or is value in favor? And by owning one of those two funds, you're still maintaining some core exposure within the large cap universe. So if you're not familiar with that model, check it out on the model page, RPV, RPG. It's a great one.
Absolutely. And then talking about models that we have there on the model page, if you didn't get a chance to read last Friday's Daily Equity Report, we announced the launch of our newest stock model that we have on the platform. It's the ESG Top 20 stock model, which is a very interesting space that we're looking to continue to develop. The ESG, the environmental, social, governance, right? Looking at those areas that are going to be sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. Those sustainable companies. And so this is definitely an interesting space. We had an FSM model that we launched earlier this year within that space. But this is going to be looking at, it's essentially 1,000 names, and then narrowing that list down according to a few different technical screens there to get you at a relative strength ranking, picking the top 20 relative strength stocks from that area. So definitely a very interesting model, and it's one that we're very excited about as we head towards the close of the year.
We are, and it just kind of adds to, you know, the expansion we put into the other stock models on the platform. I think if you have clients who are interested in the ESG space, it's nice to have some individual names there. That way they can have something kind of tangible to mm-hmm. talk about versus just having an ESG fund, which, you know, while that can work well additionally, you lose the emotional buy-in that a client might have with a name like Microsoft or Starbucks, you know, a couple names that are included in the model right now. Mm-hmm. Now, not to detract away from the fund aspect, right, because mm-hmm. that's a good way to play the ESG space in kind of a broader, more diversified lens. And as you mentioned earlier, the FSM ESG solution that we have available on the site, you know, simply going to take the top five ESG mutual funds or ETFs, look at them on a seasonal quarterly basis, and then evaluate and update accordingly. And that model on the year is up about 28% relative to its sustainable benchmark, which is up about 21%. So it's had a great showing, mm-hmm. Perhaps a good way to pair, you know, again, the two different types of inventories with that ESG focus for those of you or for your clients who are interested in that.
Absolutely, absolutely. A lot that's going on and a lot that we'll continue to keep you updated with. I think that does pretty much wrap up most of what we were looking to cover here today. So again, we'll continue to analyze the market, bring out the research there for the rest of this week through the written research as well as through the podcast. Any questions and feedback on the Institute, again, please do not hesitate to reach out to us there via email or by phone. The phone lines are always open as well, 804-320-8511. So with that, thank you all very much for joining us this week, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.